Welcome to the latest episode of the Original 11, the official podcast of Princeton football. On today's show, we will have the Ivy League Player of the Week, John Lovett, who had a riveting show Saturday on Powers Field. 5 touchdown passes, a touchdown run, a punt inside the one, over 300-yard passing. Basically, the complete John Lovett experience in a 51-9 victory over Monmouth. Saturday. We'll get to our interview with John Lovett later. My name is Craig Saxon. I'm your host, and I'm joined by Cody Kruschel, the voice of Princeton football, as we do each week. A little analysis and maybe a quick look ahead since we are in a short week. Let's start, though, with Saturday. And you know, you can look at everything they did, and we can talk about that. But I think that the scariest thing about this group is they're going to get better. You remember, this is John Lovett's second game as the full-time starting quarterback. Missed a touchdown pass on the first play of the game. I mean, this offense is going to get in more sync as they go.
Couple of thoughts. First off, you mentioned all the accolades for John Lovett. If there was an international player of the week, he would have won that too, but I don't think that exists. I mean, 21 of 27, 5 touchdowns, no picks, 332 yards. He looked more comfortable as a dropback passer week 2 than week 1, which is really what you want to see. Talk about John Lovett not taking unnecessary hits. Wasn't sacked at all. Offensive line did a great job. He did a good job getting out of bounds early in plays while still getting the yardage he needed. Spread the football around. You know, we looked at last week, and it was with Butler. You know, Carlson, Horsted went off, they stopped Carlson. So you figured a team with a good defensive backfield, with Monmouth has maybe the best cover corner in the Big South, you figured, okay, Horsted or Carlson, not Horsted and Carlson. Steven Carlson, 179 yards, 2 touchdowns. Jesper Horsted, 150, 3 scores. This team is getting better. This team is deep, and I saw your note after the game. Stevens Institute came back after getting 50 dropped on him back-to-back weeks. Anytime you're going back to the 1800s with season-opening stats, that's a good sign.
Yeah, and, you know, you had to go back in time to, you know, this offense, one of the trademarks is the way they spread the ball around. Typically, after a game, you look at the receiving totals, and it's 4 receivers who caught a pass, and 3 running backs, and 2 tight ends, and another quarterback, and this game, 3 receivers caught passes. That's it. Carlson, 11 for 179. Horsted, 8 for 150. Bermelin had a couple catches. There were 6 incompletions in the game, and I was just trying to do it off the top of my head. There was the one to Bermelin in the middle of the field early, one to Horsted that went out of bounds, the one to Carlson out of bounds. Davidson missed one. That was to Bermelin. I can't think of a pass that wasn't to one of those 3 guys, and I like what Sean Gleason's doing, which is basically, until you stop it, we're not going away from this. This is our bread and butter. We have these 2 receivers. You figure out how to stop it. And when you do, then we'll adjust. So far, nobody stopped it.
If it's not broke, don't fix it. And you look at it, it's big plays from these receivers. And then in the running game, it's, you know, 7 yards a carry for Charlie Volker, 9 yards a carry for John Lovett, Colonidi, 5 yards a carry. So they've been spreading it around as far as keeping bodies fresh in the running game. And in the passing game, if it's not broke, don't fix it. Why would you go away from that?
You know, you go to the defensive side of the ball, and it's easier on offense to talk about a couple of the standout performances because some of the numbers are really gaudy. Defensively, historically, for under Bob Cerace, when this defense has been good, they haven't necessarily had that one guy. They spread it around a lot. They're not on the field as much. You know, so you don't have that 16-tackle guy that, you know, in past seasons we've had. Tom Johnson had a couple of those games last year because Fassati wasn't on the field with him. Right now, the defensive line is getting pressure. The linebackers are stopping the run. The defensive backs are keeping players in front of them. They had the one play, you know, at the start of the game. Guerrero breaks one on a run. Ellis catches him. Other than that, nobody is getting behind this group.
Yeah, Guerrero had, 71 yards on the first play of the game. He finished with 12 carries for 109, so keeping him in check, check that off the list. A couple of standouts. Anytime you keep Reggie White Jr. under 100 yards, he's one of the best receivers in the nation at the FCS level, and this was a game where they were passing. They fell behind early, so Monmouth had to throw the football. 8 catches, 98 yards. That's better than a lot of guys do against him. I thought DeLon Stallworth did a nice job being physical on Reggie White Jr. And two or three of those eight catches he had, they were just, okay, this guy is a freak athlete. He went up, he got it. You know, he made an incredible play. He's a very athletic senior, so you can't really knock DeLon for that. Reading what Jay Greenberg wrote in his article last week about how athletic Joey DeMarco is, he's at the quarterback. He's disrupting things every play. Same can be said for Jeremiah Tyler. And then you saw some freshmen get in there, too, late in that game. Not even that late in that game, and they were disruptive. Tom Johnson had a Tom Johnson game. We saw what James Johnson can bring. He was their second leading tackler last year and saw a lot of that same Tom Johnson grit and athleticism. You know, there's really not one or two guys on defense you look at as standouts. And if you watched that game and I asked you, okay, who was the top tackler? It might take you three or four guesses before you got it right. That's how well spread out and even this defense has been.
Yeah, and I think that might be the case. I mean, I think Johnson and Fassati will get the majority of the tackles just because that's what they do. But, you know, you mentioned DeMarco and guys like Jay Rolater, Samuel Wright. I mean, what this defensive line, we talked about it before the season that, you know, all the depth that they built up last year, you know, could pay off this year, but you still had to see it. And this team, you watch the defense, they're rolling in different lines in the middle of series. I mean, you're keeping snap counts low, you're keeping players fresh, and basically you're just turning them loose as they get on the field. And then that, I mean, everything helps each other. A strong defensive line helps the defensive backfield. They don't have to cover as long. And I think we're seeing growth in a player like TJ Floyd, who just seems to have better command. He had the interception. That one was kind of easy. Ball was kind of thrown.
Still have to make the play.
But five tackles, a sack. He just seems to be more comfortable kind of roaming around the field, you know, handling his spot, but also kind of adding to other areas on the field. And you're just seeing the whole defense come together right now.
TJ Floyd seems like he's been here forever because he was the starting nickel his
right.
freshman year. He took over at safety last year with a lot of young guys around him. And the coaching staff talks about it. And I'm sure we'll talk to Marvin Klessiter on the radio show this Thursday night. He's our guest, and we'll talk to Ben Ellis as well. But Bob Sorace talked about it during the preseason. With this group of defensive backs, you now have Ben Ellis and TJ Floyd, the two safeties. They're upperclassmen. All those corners that were freshmen and played a big role last year are sophomores. And the one thing that Bob Sorace talked about was when you go out there, it's the communication. Last year, it was silent. It was too quiet in the defensive backfield. This year, those are some of the loudest guys on the field. And if you go out to a practice, you can see that. You can hear that. The communication is just better. And that has to be responsible for a lot of this. And this is a secondary. You know, they're not facing off against lower-level competition. Butler had Pace Temple. And Monmouth had Reggie White Jr. and some other big targets, and they held him in check. I mean, Monmouth has an all-conference tight end, and I think they held him to two short catches this week. Really great job by the secondary across the board.
Yeah, and it doesn't get any easier this week when you look at Ronald Smith for Columbia. And look, we're early this week. I know you'll have more on Friday night's game on the Bob Sorace Show Thursday night. Let's look a little bit just at the Ivy League because Princeton heads into its Ivy League schedule this week, seven of the next eight games. And look, we're going to figure out the league as we go, but a lot of teams are 2-0, and everybody can say, well, who did they beat? Who did they beat? Nobody really has a sense of who's good around the nation right now, and it's not going to matter because we're going to start to see it unfold over the next 2 months. But you look at the two games that were played this week, Harvard and Brown, Yale and Cornell. Maybe people thought, well, those are two of the top teams in the league, Yale and Harvard. They should have easy games. And neither of them turned out to be. Now, Harvard and Yale both got wins, both got them on the road. So, you know, those are important wins to get. But I think we could be looking at a pretty balanced set of opponents throughout the season. And for Princeton, if they can keep this offense going, scoring points, they're going to have a shot. Kind of wherever they go, nobody has really kind of, I think if you have to look at the most impressive non-league victories so far this season, Princeton and maybe Dartmouth. I mean, defensively, Dartmouth has been phenomenal. Columbia, week one, maybe a little stronger than they were last week, but overall, it looks like a pretty good league top to bottom.
I don't think it's really surprised anyone that the Tigers have put up 50 back-to-back weeks. I mean, granted, that's a gaudy number, but that doesn't shock you. I think the impressive thing is the 7 points allowed to Butler and 9 points allowed against a playoff team in Monmouth. It's tough to get a read on the conference. I mean, you mentioned it. The two top teams that played this past weekend, Harvard and Yale kind of going on the road. And I think what we've seen is maybe Yale has some more chinks in the armor than we expected. They were the preseason favorite, Princeton number two. You know, maybe Brown's figuring it out a little bit. They have an underclassman quarterback, and the fact that they were a little bit more competitive against Harvard on Friday night, you know, maybe they're not going to be that easy victory like they were the past couple of seasons. Again, two Ivy League games. We're heading into the first real full week of Ivy League contests. It'll be interesting to see what happens this Friday and Saturday. I think when we're doing this next Monday, we'll have a little bit of a clearer picture of this league.
Yeah, I will say this about Columbia, because you can look at, you know, the scores and you know, a Georgetown team that struggled. Well, maybe Columbia should have won that game by more. But the fact is they won that game. And you're starting to see kind of that Al Bagnoli. This was what Penn teams used to do. They weren't always super impressive, but they were tough, and they found ways to win games. And Columbia's 2-0, and that wasn't the case for Columbia for a long time. So this is going to be a Columbia team that believes in itself a lot more than it did a year and a half ago. They've beaten Princeton. They came back on the road to do it last year at their home, national TV. This is going to be a rock fight.
And for Columbia, they are 2-0. They found ways to get wins. The defense has played pretty well. They won this past week without Josh Wainwright. They announced last week that their top receiver, maybe the top return man in the Ivy League, done for the year with a torn ACL. This is a Columbia team. You talk about Princeton showing improvement from week one to week two. Columbia, you're going to see that as well, because they're starting quarterback. They've started a pair of sophomores, Josh Bean in week one, Dylan Davis in week two. Davis, a highly touted recruit coming out of Texas. They're starting running back who's averaging 75 yards a game as a true freshman. And we remember what Ronald Smith did last year against the Tigers.
That guy's a blur.
10 catches, 236 yards, two touchdowns, including the game winner in the final 90 seconds. So the defense is what the defense was. You know what you're getting from an Al Bagnoli team. They have a lot of young weapons. You know, you can look at the scores and say, okay, they snuck past a bad Georgetown team. They just got past Central Connecticut. They let them back in. I don't think this one's going to be 50-9 or 51-9 or 50-7.
2-0 is 2-0, and it's 2-0, and that's what you have two teams at Friday night, 6 p.m., Columbia on ESPNU. The game will be in New York City. Looking forward to that. That's always a great crowd, a great venue to watch a game. Looking forward to that. Now we'll get to our interview with John Lovett, a senior quarterback, already 7 touchdown passes this season, 3 touchdown runs, just a brilliant year so far for the 2016 Ivy League Offensive Player of the Year. Fun interview here. He talks about kind of the process of going through injury, a low moment in last year's Columbia game, and just kind of what it's taken to, you know, take over as the full-time quarterback and how this offense has started to click so quickly. Again, Friday night, you'll be able to see John in this Princeton offense on ESPNU against Columbia. Let's hear now from John Lovett.
John, since I haven't had you on the podcast, you know, this your story is such a fascinating one because of, you know, really kind of everything that's happened over the last 3 years. So I kind of want to get a sense of, you know, Coach Sarace talked about your performance kind of the spring after your Ivy Player of the Year 2016 season and how well you were throwing the ball and everything. And to have that coming off of 2016 and then suffer the injury and miss the season, you know, I know you're a positive person, but can you talk about the frustration of being on the sideline as a captain and not being able to participate, not being able to help your team?
Yeah, absolutely. The most frustrating point of missing that whole season was exactly what you said, being on the sideline, not being able to be out there competing with my teammates, you know, spend so much time and energy working out with them, you know, throughout the whole off season, and, you know, to have a good spring and then a great summer, and then to not be able to play that fall was tough, especially, you know, a lot of close games where I felt like I would have loved to have been out there competing with everyone. It was, it wasn't easy.
You probably couldn't look at it and laugh at the time, but, I mean, that frustration you know, and just kind of wanting to be on the sideline, wanting to be with your team. Is that kind of what happened when, you know, the Columbia game, as you kind of run on and celebrate that touchdown late in that game? And is that the ultimate low moment to actually be called for a penalty on that?
Yeah, that definitely, I think, sort of encapsulated my frustration and how much energy I had on wanting to be out on the field, that I literally ran out onto the field when Steve caught that pass from Chad, you know, with a couple minutes to go in the game. So that, thankfully, Adam Hoffman, my roommate, ran down and made the tackle inside the 20-yard line for the kickoff, so I didn't feel like I was totally responsible.
We haven't seen Coach Therese yell at you often, but he must have had some choice words after that moment.
Yeah, he Coach Therese definitely had at his point across, gave his point across to me, but I deserve that. I mean, I can't be doing that.
You knew when the season was over that you know, I mean, Chad had this incredible year, but you know that the team was going to be in your hands for 2018. But it had to be kind of a different way of running the team than you know, when you were out in 2016, you're the Ivy League Player of the Year. But do you feel like you had to play a little differently, that, you know, you were kind of, you know, and I said it, part of the charm of the way you played was that reckless abandon. But did you feel like, all right, you had to shape your game a little bit because of the responsibilities had changed?
As far as how I played in 2016 compared to how I'm playing now?
Right. You know, being the starting quarterback, being the one that has to take the snap every play and you know, make the throws. I mean, did you go into the year feeling like, all right, I have to change the way I play a little bit? Maybe not completely, obviously, but, you know, make some different decisions?
Yeah, I think that, you know, with the responsibility of being a starting quarterback, taking every snap under center, it comes with added responsibility of, you know, making sure that everything is going smoothly. You're the one operating the offense at an efficient pace. And, you know, when I was back in 2016, I was asked of the coach to do, you know, more things as far as playing a lot of H-back and some receiver and running back and quarterback and kind of being bounced over the place. So I think that as far as adrenaline is concerned, this year I just kind of had to, you know, keep myself more composed before a game, maybe not be getting as jacked up as I would as far as, you know, showing that excitement to sort of take things in stride, you know, play the game one snap at a time, playing fast and physical like we do in our offense, and really, you know, running the show.
You know, the people that looked at this offense in 2018, they were, you know, you returned guys like Jesper and Carlson and, you know, Charlie Volker, and you obviously, you know, as well. But, you know, the big question that people asked was, well, how will John throw the ball? So how much do you like that challenge of, you know, you were, again, an Ivy League Player of the Year, and now most of the questions are surrounding a major part of your game. Like, is that the kind of challenge that you like? And how much does just that thought and that, you know, people having that question kind of serve to motivate you through the offseason?
Coming into Princeton, obviously, I had never played, you know, any other position on offense aside from quarterback. So I had complete confidence in my ability to be a pro-style quarterback. I know I have other traits that, you know, have been flourished throughout my career here, but I was really looking forward to the opportunity to, you know, getting back to having the ball in my hands on the play. But honestly, as far as listening to people questioning, as far as, you know, he's been a, you know, multi-purpose position to some career, and now he's has the reins of quarterback, that really hasn't come across my head at all throughout the offseason. I just know that whatever position the coaches want me to play, I'm going to play that position to the best of my ability. And when this season came up, I'm fifth-year senior now, and I was going to get the reins at quarterback, you know, I worked incredibly hard to just try to solidify things that I've needed to improve and need to continue to improve on every day as a quarterback. So I don't know if there's necessarily added motivation by external factors. There's a lot of internal motivation to, you know, do the best I can do.
You had to believe, certainly, in you know, with what Princeton was returning and kind of what you saw from the group in the preseason, that this offense could be successful. But 101 points in 2 weeks, has anything even caught you a little off guard by how successful this offense has been through two games?
Honestly, no. It all starts, I think, this summer. We had pretty much every single guy on our offense here throughout the whole entire summer, the best numbers we've had, and it kind of showed throughout training camp. We were far ahead with installs and operating the offense efficiently than we have been, you know, in my 5 years here. So I think to how these first two games come out strong with a explosive offense doesn't surprise me. We have an incredible amount of talent at all positions. Our offensive line is doing an incredible job protecting and opening up holes for, you know, Colin and Charlie and everyone that's running the ball. And it's been exciting, but the work is not even close to being over. Obviously, we have our first Ivy League game coming up this Friday. So that's something that we all have our minds on, and we're locked in, incredibly focused, and we're excited for a great week of practice to try to continue the success as an offense.
You know, one thing that has really impressed me so far, and you look at this offense, there's been a lot of big plays, and a lot of times people associate, well, a big play offense, they take their chances, and you know, you're going to have a couple of turnovers along the way. This offense hasn't had a single turnover. Is that a matter of, you know, simple discipline, sticking to game plan? Has it been, you know, just players making plays? Like, what do you attribute that, and how big a factor is that kind of, was that throughout the preseason of, you know, if it's not there, you don't force anything, and you just go to the next play?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, winning the turnover battle is a lot of times is obviously going to determine the outcome of the game. So being on the positive end of that is always a great thing. I think that from a quarterback perspective, as far as throwing the ball, that's something that, you know, I've worked very hard on throughout the off season and, you know, continuing into the season, just being a game manager when things aren't there, either making a play with my feet or knowing when to throw the ball away. And from a running standpoint, whether it's the running backs getting a handoff or receivers after catch or myself taking off the run, we worked extremely hard during camp, you know, having periods of our practice specifically designed to ball security. So that's been a heavy point of emphasis from our coaching staff, and I think that our team has really responded well thus far. We need to continue that. But guys definitely understand the severity of, you know, making sure that we can control the turnover battle, and we've done a good job of that so far. Our defense has also done a good job of creating some turnovers for us to get the ball back.
Does it feel at times like you almost have a quarterback cheat code, that you have a pair of 6'4" wide receivers that can run and jump and catch? And I mean, at times you can just almost throw it as far as you can and just kind of watch those guys run under it.
Yeah, Stevie and Jesper both have been incredible to throw to, but we have an incredible amount of weapons in addition to them. But yeah, as far as those two guys are concerned, it's definitely a huge benefit as a quarterback to know where those guys are going to be. We definitely have some great chemistry going, and for them to just me to throw the ball and just watch those guys go up high point the football and then, you know, have yards after catch, and everyone's seen what they can do. It's not surprising to any of us, but definitely exciting to watch. And yes, it's very fun as a quarterback to you know, have those guys out there making the plays they are day in and day out. And I see it every day in practice, so it's not something that when game time hits, it really doesn't surprise me. You know, you're gonna play how you practice, and that's how they practice every single day.
You know, we're recording this on a Sunday night. I know you guys haven't, you know, you spent last week focusing on Mom, but you'll get your Columbia information later this week. So I'm not going to ask you about Columbia, but does it feel, knowing that an Ivy League game is coming up next and that seven of the next will be, you know, your last run through the Ivy League and, you know, the rest of the senior class, like, Is it a good feeling to finally be here for you, that you get to get back into league play and you know, kind of Friday night, national TV, you know, a Columbia team that obviously, you know, put you on a tough start last season. I mean, just how good does it feel to be here, especially being here in the position that you guys are in now, 2-0 and playing pretty well?
Oh, yeah, it's incredible. We're all looking forward to this opportunity. Obviously, a big Friday night game at Columbia. We're looking forward to getting out there to practice, you know, starting first thing in the morning tomorrow. So, you know, all of our guys are incredibly excited, but we're also focused on the opportunity at hand. And more importantly, we're focused on taking one day at a time. And the best way to position ourselves for success on Friday night is to go out tomorrow and have a great day and then build on that throughout the week. And I feel like we've been doing that well the first 2 weeks, so we need to keep that ball rolling. Obviously, we know how important every single Ivy League game is without having playoffs. So, you know, every single game in the Ivy League is of tremendous importance.
Thank you for listening to this week's edition of the Original 11. A reminder, Friday night's game is going to be nationally televised on ESPNU. It's a 6 p.m. start at Columbia. You can also listen to the game on 103.3 FM or on TuneIn. All links will be on GoPrincesTigers.com as well as social media. And you can hear every episode of the Original 11 as well as the Bob Cerace Show on Thursday nights and any other episodes from the Princeton Podcast Network by subscribing now to Princeton Tigers. Thank you for listening to the Original 11.